Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Welcome back to Darren, Donick, and Chase, and we've got some really exciting news for you. We are able to talk to Coach Gary Smith, the head coach of Nashville SC. As you know, we've got a great relationship with the team. We are the flagship, and we're going to have a huge relationship with the club going forward. And the league announcing here today that they will be returning to play, and we now have a clear picture of the format. The Nashville club will be move to the Eastern Conference, and we're going to allow Coach Smith to give us a little detail on what it's going to take to move on and try to win a championship in the first ever season. So first of all, Coach Smith, before we even get to that, I know you've been very patient. The players have been as well, to get back on the field and actually do some workouts, even if it's not the whole group at one time. So how enthusiastic are you that you now have a pathway back to playing some games?
It's been a hugely difficult time, as I think anyone involved will tell you. You know, not just a challenge for the population in general, but it's been a challenge for us in the soccer world, given the virus and the lack of contact that we can have. There have been lots of limitations placed on what we can and can't do in terms of our training. But as far as workload, as far as being on the field and back in a comfortable environment in our own training facility, it's been a very productive time. And we're, of course, absolutely delighted and excited to be looking forward to the Orlando tournament in just over, I would say, 3 weeks' time that we get down there.
Wow, it's going to be honest here pretty quick, I'm sure. So, Coach, if you will, educate our fans and the ones that are going to be following you. Because, for example, my son plays 14U baseball, and when they're in a tournament, I always look in the brackets. How many teams are in the bracket? How many games is it going to take for us to win? And there's almost a little bit of a World Cup feel to this, pool play and things like that. Explain what it's going to take for your guys to be successful down in Orlando.
Well, first of all, I think you're spot on in the way that you've described it. From my understanding, it will be very much based on a World Cup style tournament. Six groups, I believe, five groups of four and a group of six, if I'm not mistaken. The top teams will go through from each group. And then I believe the next two best points or points plus goal difference tallies to send what will be, I think, eight teams through to a quarterfinal scenario and so on. It will be very, very different to anything certainly I've seen in a long, long while since my young coaching days or even young playing days. A very quick and an explosive tournament, three games in the group stages. Those three games will go towards a point tally in your schedule, your overall schedule for the season, as mm-hmm. well as obviously taking you through, if that's achievable. It'll be a very difficult environment, I should imagine. Whilst it'll be exciting, you know, everyone's going to be looking to get out of the blocks quickly. Any mistakes that are made will be punished because you won't have an awful lot of time to recover. And I think the group that goes into Orlando in the best possible physical condition will have a very decent chance in what will surely be a very humid, hot, and tough environment down in Florida.
Well, what it really sounds like, too, Coach, is that every game is going to be magnified. It's a fast track. You've got to play well right off the bat if you're going to be successful. And, you know, having watched a lot of World Cup and understanding, you know, the pressure and the drama that goes in, it seems to me like this is pretty wide open for an expansion team like yourselves. You've almost got nothing to lose, but I would have to think, you know, anything can happen in a 3-5 game window if you guys can play your best.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll go down there with a lot of confidence. There's the opportunity, as you've well said, in a very brief period of time, to get off to a good start and to feel good about yourself. For us, I think there are some other aspects of the tournament that we'd certainly like to focus in on. The first one being, you know, we're looking for our first victory and our first points to put on the board. And I think the tournament itself will be something, you know, to fight for and to look forward to doing well in. But we'll also have a bigger picture on our mind as well. And that will be, what does the schedule look like after the tournament? And can we put ourselves in a better position as we leave Orlando and hopefully move towards something that's a little bit more familiar towards the latter part of the year of a home and away type schedule with that yet to be determined?
You've had all kinds of challenges. We've talked to a lot of the different members of the staff for Nashville SC, and it's been such a wonderful story. It was off to such a great start, and then we had all of these things, the tornado, and then, of course, the virus and everything. And I know there's been a lot of challenges here. So, Coach, when you gathered your guys back up, because I know there had to be some tricky conversations with the labor piece and everything like that, and now everybody's back ready to go. So when you gathered your guys, how did you try to get them on the same page and try to jump back in? Because as you said, you've got to go down there sharp, in good condition, and you have to put all these distractions, which have been very, very tough, aside.
Again, you're absolutely right. It seems as though there's some major difficulties that have occurred that you would not normally expect. You know, the COVID virus being obviously the biggest issue that we've run into at this point, but the labour issue between the players and the league was certainly one that looks as though it could derail everything that the league were trying to piece together. I think the players and the league have come to a good conclusion. It sounds as though, because I'm obviously not part of those discussions, but it sounds as though both parties have, in the end, compromised in one way, shape or form, which always, I believe, leaves a better pathway in terms of competition and moving forward. And I think we're fortunate in the fact that the players we have at our club have shown a very focused and single-minded approach under such difficult circumstances from the very outset. And if you consider that we're a brand new franchise and some of the challenges that were going to be obvious in the early stages of our first year, and now a look at where the players are, what and how they're getting on with their business, and certainly what will be necessary when we get down to Orlando. Again, I think we're very fortunate that we have the guys we have in the locker room and some of the good leaders that are really dragging us along on the playing side. We'll be in good shape. The guys have worked tremendously hard in the last 3-4 weeks that we've been able to get back together. And I think the biggest part of it is their appetite to get back playing. In short term, they're athletes, and I think they're very excited to be back into what would be any format of playing, and this one should be something to really look forward to.
We're talking to Gary Smith, the head coach of Nashville SC, here on Darren Donick and Chase. Very, very close to returning to the pitch and getting things going again. And you mentioned your team and trying to gel as a team. And, you know, for some that have been together for a while, I mean, this is not easy for anybody, but they at least have the advantage of they know one another. Your team was still learning. So after only 2 games, I mean, what did you see as the head coach that made you feel like things were starting to gel together, that it would be easy to pick back up and start that process all over again?
Well, the fundamentals in the group, as you look at the way we played, there were some very decent relationships that looked as though they'd formed quickly. Defensively, I felt as though we put on a very unified display. It was a great understanding. If you look at the Portland game, I felt as though there were far more periods in that game where we controlled good possession, which again lends itself to the fact that the guys are reading off the same page and are moving in the same direction. You know, all in all, I think there were plenty of positives to take away from the obvious disappointment, which was to walk away from those first two games with 0 points. So we understand that the real importance now of getting points on the board, but we certainly have some strong foundations and a core of real characters in the team that are ready and prepared to push on from this point.
One thing that I have learned very quickly about the sport of soccer is just the passion of the fan base. And this is I've watched through the USL years. You, of course, have been a part of that and got to see this thing grow from scratch. But it's still a process. And while you and the players and the coaching staff, you're worried about winning games, it's everyone's responsibility to help build the fan base. So how difficult is it now that you have had a stoppage in your first season, fans won't be in attendance, but you're still also trying to keep people involved and to build that fan base up?
For sure. I mean, I've watched, as probably many people have, some of the other leagues around the world just starting to get back into action again. And it looks very strange not having any fans inside those stadiums. We couldn't have been happier as a team and a group at the support that we saw at Titan Stadium in the opening game against Atlanta. And probably one of the biggest disappointments was, of course, we weren't able to come back home and see if we could get anywhere near replicating that type of atmosphere and support. And I think the guys deep down are desperately keen to make sure that the home field advantage, the stadium that we're playing in, and of course the entertainment value that they can place on the field is something that keeps drawing our fans back to support us. It's a reciprocal relationship. I've always said that. You know, our job is to make sure that the product is an exciting one, and in return, you know, we always hope that the fans are going to see that and get behind the team and really be that 12th player in the most important stages of the game. In the interim time, I think the best that we can do is just make sure there's a good contact with the community and the city in general. And I do honestly think that, you know, from my time in USL and the very brief one, of course, in MLS, that there's a unique understanding and appreciation between the players and the fans. And that's something, of course, that we continue to build. But all of our hopes are that, you know, once we get underway again at the right time, you know, we can see that bond grow even further.
You're in your time that you've been here through the USL and now this starting MLS. What is something unique that has stood out to you, or maybe even surprised you, about Nashville? And just how quickly things have grown with that fan base?
Well, I'm not sure that anyone could have anticipated the size of the crowd and the atmosphere that we saw against Atlanta. I mean, there were some really exciting moments in USL, some terrific crowds, of course, a much smaller venue. And as I've just said, the relationship that the players formed with certainly the roadies at the far end of the ground and the fans in general at First Tennessee was fabulous. But I think in the early stages of MLS, it's been incredible to see the way that the city has got behind the team, not just supported the team, but has come together around MLS and what it means, and again another huge franchise in the sporting world in Nashville itself. And I think that's, it's something that Nashville, as I've seen since I've been here, has been quite unique for. You know, I've watched the Predators in their Stanley Cup run and what that did to the fans just last year with the Titans and their playoff run. And the city itself seems to get behind not just the sports, but teams, obviously, that are doing well. And they want to see the city in general and those franchises, elevated to another level. And it's incredible to watch.
We're talking to Coach Gary Smith, head coach of Nashville SC. The MLS announcing their return to play format, a very creative, a little bit of World Cup-esque feel to it as the teams will head down to Orlando. So, Coach, as we let you go, do you have much of a mental picture on what it's going to be like in Orlando? I know there's a lot of health concerns, and that's probably the first priority, but also the players going in there. Just give us a little thought of how you visualize the day-to-day operation down there.
Well, there's a huge logistical plan that needs to take place, of course, with 26 professional teams down there. But I think the MLS has done a wonderful job up until now, and I've no doubt when we find ourselves in the resort that we will be staying in down in Disney to isolate us and keep us, safe and sound, away from the virus, and of course healthy and ready to play. I expect that the fields over at ESPN, which is where we'll play, will be in good condition. I've been there myself and watched my daughter play just a couple of years ago, and it's a wonderful venue. Some of the difficulties could certainly be thrown up in, of course, the climate, times that teams can train and how we'll go about our business in that respect. But I think in general, as far as airing live soccer and the slots that we'll have on ESPN, they all look very decent. They all look as though they'll offer the teams the best opportunity to compete. But again, with no fans there, it'll be something very unique. I know the guys have seen it in pre-season, but not many of them will have seen it when it really matters and there's competition on the line. And I think the teams that stay the most focused and can really, put the blinkers on and concentrate on their soccer are going to be the ones that, as we said a little bit earlier, get off to a really good start and maybe progress the furthest in this competition.
Well, we're really excited that this is happening. I know you are as well. Coach, thank you so much for joining us and giving us some perspective on this, and good luck to your guys as you get ready for this challenge down in Orlando.
Much appreciated, and thanks for getting me on.
That's Coach Gary Smith, Nashville SC, the league announcing today that they will have a unique tournament, a World Cup-style format that will count in the regular season standings down in Orlando. It will start on July the 8th. The teams are already practicing. They'll head to Orlando in a few weeks and start preparing down there at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex. The Nashville SC club will move over to the Eastern Conference to balance out the 2016 tournament, and the winner of this tournament will earn a spot in the 2021 Scotiabank CONCACAF Champions League. So this is an exciting thing. After that, it remains to be seen what will happen. They hope to maybe resume the regular season in mid-August when this is over, but this should be a lot of fun to keep an eye on our team as they get back in. They played just two games before the halt of the regular season. And Coach Gary Smith, nice enough to join us, the first interview he did since the league announced that new format. We'll be back with more of Darren Donick and Chase right after this.
Good stuff from Gary Smith, Nashville SC head coach. July 8th in Orlando is when MLS is officially back. Don't forget, you can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, which is free and easy to do. You can enable Alexa Skill, which I do frequently at my house, or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or you can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. All easy options for you, and there and readily available. Coming up at noon, Field Yates. A good conversation with him. Chris Mason at 1 o'clock. Speaking of hockey, Nick Bonino, Bones, a.k.a. Bones, was on the rundown this morning in the 9 o'clock hour with Chase McCabe and Ryan Porth. And it was pretty interesting to hear him talk about the layoff and as they get a little bit closer to returning.
Yeah, I hope it'll benefit us. I think, you know, the one thing is, and I can tell you, probably every team has said this, but we did feel like we were turning the corner and playing a lot better before the pause happened. So I think this is a good thing. I know Coach has been able to connect with pretty much everyone on the team more than once for every guy and talk to them and kind of get their thoughts. It was funny, you know, he came over and he asked me some of my thoughts about the year, and I couldn't really remember some of them. It was just a different time. So I'm sure when we get back, it'll be as close to a fresh start as you can get. Everyone, you know, in that playoff, in that best of five round, everyone's on even footing, and we'll just try to get prepared as well as we can.
There you go. Nick Bonino this morning on the rundown. As I sit here and watch Matt Dumba on Lunch Talk with Mike Tirico, and you can tell it's starting to get back at which leaves. Okay, league, when are you going to announce the two hub cities? That's kind of like the final thing before this thing gets cranked up again. But you can starting to feel where people are getting excited that sports is coming back. As you just heard Nick Bonino on our airwaves, Matt Dumba is doing a national interview right now. And the fun part is the hockey playoffs are always challenging to pick. Always. I mean, it's amazing. We did one at our house last year, and my 8-year-old son won. I mean, you know, and he actually, like, cleaned my clock. Like, it wasn't even close. He really did. Like, it wasn't even close. It's just so hard to predict the NHL playoffs. That's under normal circumstances. How in the world are we supposed to figure this out? Now, we'll get to see a little bit, you know, leading up to when they whittle this thing down to 16, so maybe you can get a little bit of a vibe, but not really. It's going to be really, really hard to see who responds to 3-plus months of doing nothing and how it's going to look, and I think which should amp up the excitement even more for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I thought it was great perspective by Nick Bonino. You know how thoughtful a person he is. And he admitted that they've been so detached and it's been so long that when John Hines was saying, well, let's talk about this part of the season, you know, what happened over here? And he says, I can't remember. I was driving along listening to that, guys, and I laughed out loud in the car because I was like, yeah, I mean, it's easy to think about that. It was a long time ago, and everybody is completely restarting right now. And you guys had an interesting question. It's almost like it's a new season in a lot of ways. You're continuing the previous season. You're completing the season. But with everybody starting over from a mental standpoint, everybody who's still remaining in the tournament, basically, but also everybody's going to be physically healthy at least to start. Now, the key will be during this training period to really condition yourself well when you start skating, because what you worry about more than anything is not, you know, you're not going to get, you know, something from impact probably. But what you could do is if you get off on the wrong foot and you pull a muscle that could linger with you for a long time, that's what you don't want to have happen. That's why I think they're giving plenty of time for the players to condition themselves, get into skating shape. But in theory, everybody's going to be starting with their full roster to start the playoffs. And that's going to be very different than what happens a lot of times in the regular playoffs when you've had the wear and tear of an 82-game season.
Yeah, I think another thing that's interesting too, because the rosters are going to be somewhat expanded. You know, there are going to be some players coming up from Milwaukee that, you know, are going to be the Black Aces, as they call them. But it'll be an opportunity for John Hines to see those guys up close because he hasn't. I mean, he's looked at scouting reports and I'm sure watched some film, but I think that'll be beneficial, too, when they start that training camp to have some of those guys available. But, yeah, and like you said, Willie, Nick Bonino he's very honest. He's very thoughtful. All three of us have had many conversations with him since he joined the Predators a few years ago. And I just was appreciative of his perspective on all of this, and that's why I brought up Ryan Johansson. You know, he hadn't read the article, but to hear those comments, you could tell that that's – that's something that Nick Bonino was pleased about, of knowing that, you know, there's that ownership from Ryan Johansson, and he's one of those that I think has benefited from this layoff. But I don't know how much you can really count on momentum that happened before the break. I think None. That's pretty much
is,
all
is there
on.
Such a thing? Like, I don't think you could have any momentum. I don't think anybody can.
Yeah.
Maybe you start off with a belief, but I think everybody's going to find a way mentally. Like, let's take two teams. Let's take the Predators, who, you know, surged. They beat the Stars two straight times in the home and home, kind of avenging the Winter Classic, the two times they met around that time, two bad losses for the Predators to really, you know, it seemed like more than one loss, you know, with the feeling you had coming out of both of those games. Remember that home game they had in the afternoon or late afternoon preceding the Winter Classic, and then they go to the Winter Classic, they had the lead, they let it get away. Well, you kind of made that right with the two straight wins. Then you go to Montreal and win. You're feeling really good. You got a three-game winning streak, and then all of a sudden you stop. So you have Nashville there in that mental place. Dallas was going the other way, right? They're all of a sudden you're thinking, wait a minute. You know, they've been in second or third for a long, long time. At least a lock hold on number three in the Central. Can anybody maybe catch them? All of a sudden you're thinking that. And now they get to completely wipe it clean. So I just don't know that you could have any momentum. But one thing is for certain. You look at the talent on the Predators. When you watch these Golden Classics and you watch those guys play at their best, which is what was happening in 2017, you definitely start thinking about possibilities of what they could do. They have enough talent when they're playing at their best and they're playing together to go a long way in this thing.
Who will benefit the most from this break? Who will come out of this break and look different in a positive way? How would you answer that? Who wants to start first? Because I have my answer.
You mean a player?
Well,
a player for the Predators. Who is a player?
Well, I know
that
is going to
look
answer
different.
Is.
I know. Yeah. I know Chase's too. So Chase, you go on and start because we both know your answer. So you start, and then Willie, I want to hear where you go with this, and I'll tell you who my answer is.
Yeah, that's right. It's Colton Sisson. No, Ryan Johansson. It is by far Ryan Johansson. I think that he needed to step away, and, you know, I was going to get that just during the off season, but he got it to finish this season. And so I feel like he knows and has admitted that this hasn't been a Ryan Johansson like year, that he has much more and he has to get to another level. And he owes that to his coaches, his teammates, to the fans here in Nashville. And I think he's going to be a very dangerous player for this team when they get this going again. I look to him to have a very good playoff. And I'll tell you, when it wasn't reading his quotes in Joe Rexroad's article, it was watching that interview he did with you, Darren, for Game 6 Remastered. There was just something different. Even though he was talking about 3 years ago, you could tell just how much more open he was, and it was more of the Ryan Johansson that we've gotten to know over the last few years. And so that's when I really first saw the difference, and I feel like that's going to pay dividends for the Preds when they resume.
He was definitely engaged in the conversation, for sure. You know when, you know, a player or a coach, somebody's going through the motions. He was not going through the motions that day. That was a very much engaged 40, 45-minute conversation with Ryan Johansson.
Yep.
And I agree with you. So, Willie, how would you answer it?
Yeah, I think I've been pretty consistent with it too. But just one thing on Ryan Johansson, I think this would apply to all players, but – you know, when Ryan Johansson has come into camp, to be honest, this is almost like training. This is a training camp. If you come into camp in good shape and you're ready to go, that's going to give you a leg up. And Ryan Johansson in particular, I can remember a couple of years ago, Kevin McCarthy was raving about Ryan Johansson's off-season conditioning. And he turned in a really good season. We know what he looks like when he's at his best. Conditioning will be a big thing for him in particular. And I think, you know, as he self-evaluates, which I think is a great thing, you know, he seemed to me, as I watched him, he just wasn't quite as quick. When you watch him in those 2017 playoff games, when he's playing at his best, he's just moving a little quicker. He's strong on the puck. He's always been a great playmaker. He's got that. But when he's moving at his best, that's what brings him to another level. That's going to be huge for him. But I do love his mental enthusiasm. You can tell he's refreshed. I think he'll be very determined. And so I'm with you guys on Johansson. The guy I'm going to pick is Victor Arvidsson. I think he's been slowed by injuries all year long. I don't think he was ever quite right after the Bortuzzo hit. And he's another guy that just jumps off the page when you watch the 2017 run, when he's at his best and moving and getting into those into the corners in front of the net, taking the pounding, finding those loose pucks, getting loose on the rush. The things that he does the damage with, you know, those are his weapons. He wasn't clicking with that. This is a great opportunity for him. You mentioned Colton Sissons. He's another guy that had an injury that I think
I asked for
derailed him.
You're cheating. Yeah, I asked for okay. one.
Did I take yours? Sorry.
No.
Chase mentioned him. It wasn't me.
I mentioned him.
I was joking, but
to Willie's point,
Sissons is my honorable mention, but Arvidsson is my answer.
Okay, because I had two answers, and I was going to go the other.
Wait a minute, you can't have two answers if I can't have two answers.
Well, no, I didn't want us to use the same. So I had two answers that I truly believe and were okay going with, and I was going to, you know, whichever one. I figured you would take one, which you did. Which was Victor Arvidsson, and so that would pivot me to the other one, and my answer is Pekka. If you think the book has been written on Pekka to this point, and he's just going to be the backup, and he'll be, he'll be in there only if, UC gets hurt or there's a really, really bad game, I don't believe that for a minute. I think this little reset, this off time, Pekka will come back with a renewed, I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of things restored mentally, physically. I just think he is going to be in a good place, and I think the break is going to do him wonders, and I don't think we've heard the last of this season. And if anything starts happening, any magic starts happening, don't be surprised if number 35 isn't a part of the magic. That's my answer.
I agree with that one.
I agree.
And I think historically,
I'll tell you what, it's going to be a fun competition, and I think it's a good problem to have. But it's not like UC Soros is going to sit there and just say, okay, you know, Pekka, you got it. You know, that's going to be an interesting dynamic because Soros was hitting a new level in his career, you know, doing it night in and night out for a month and a half, 2 months, however long it was, when he started to get the bulk of the starts. But I'm completely in agreement. I think the reset button is going to do wonders. You've heard Chris Mason theorize about that a lot. He completely agrees. But if you can get the high-level goaltending, the possibilities are enormous in this thing. But you got to get it right from the start.
Historically, though, UC has had slow starts. And, I mean, this is like we've been saying, this is a restart. So I think that's where Pekka could really come into play.
That is a very good point.
You know, so because Pekka started the season off strong.
Well, their first month was fantastic.
Yeah. We were talking. I know I was talking. I was saying, Vezina, is that happening again? You know, but yeah. So I think that's something to consider too. Is just historically UC's had slower starts than Pekka, and that could benefit the Preds.
Bicycle Boy is on hold. What's up?
Hey. Here's my second answer to the question you're talking about, and I'm going with you, Darren. I think Pekka stands to gain a lot. I know UC has been in Europe, and he's had some ice time. Is it the same with Pekka?
I don't believe so. I believe Pekka's been here. Is that right? Anybody know the answer to
Pekka
that?
Pekka has been here, and UC has been back home.
Yeah, UC has been back in Finland, but I think Pekka's been here.
Yeah. So here's a scenario for you. And I'm not sure, is the first round of when they start the playoffs, the first round is going to be best of five?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the qualifying round, the round to get to the first round, which is weird because it's like the NCAA tournament when you're in the first four. Remember, they actually switched that to the first round for a couple of, and then they realized that was too confusing. You play the first round to get to the actual first round, so it's they're calling it the qualifying round.
Yeah.
Well, to get to the first round of the playoffs.
Let's say we're playing Arizona, and the first game we go in there and we just dominate. We win like 5-1. Second game, same thing, 4-0. how hard will it be for the team that's down two games early on to just continue and not just say, you know, let's just put an asterisk on this season and go home and get ready for the next season, whenever that's going to be?
Ooh, okay, that's an interesting question, Bicycle Boy. Thanks as always. Let's do this. Let's ponder that, and let's come back and talk about getting down in a series after this long break and what will be the mentality of the players. You know, it's one thing in the playoffs after a long regular season mentality. You see teams come back. I was just watching the Avalanche. I was just watching that yesterday and last night, their comeback. They were down 3-2 in the Stanley Cup Final, and they came back. And Ray Bourque, the magical ending. But that happens all the time in hockey, all the time. The Predators did it. So let's talk about that on the other side to close out hour number two of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Field Yates coming up at high noon here on this Wednesday. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. So Bicycle Boy posed the question, you're in a best-of-five series, and you jump out 2-0 on your opponent, and you've dominated them, and you've been in a weird year where you're coming back from sitting there doing nothing for 3+ months. What will be the mindset? Because we see comebacks in hockey all the time, much more than we do, I think, in baseball and the NBA. I think baseball will be next, and then the NBA would be last. I feel like you get to a certain threshold in the NBA, and it's like you could just close the book on this series. It's over. But, you know, sometimes it happens, but not much. Hockey, I feel like it happens all the time. So what will be the mindset if somebody gets down 0-2 and a best of five, considering the unusual circumstances they've been in?
I honestly don't think it'll change. I just think when you're a competitor – and I would tell you that I think a competitive team, I just think it's natural. You say three in a row is not that many, right? We've been working for 6 weeks. We want our season to end after three games, after all this work we did to get back and ready to go. I don't think it'll be different. Because, as you pointed out, Darren, hockey is such a razor's edge. You know, one play, one bounce can change a series around. If you find a way to, if you're down two games to none and you find a way to win game three, then it's not over. Winning three games in a row against the team is doable. So I don't think it'll change. I don't think you're going to see teams check out. Now, I don't, if Montreal and Chicago, maybe those teams, because maybe you have a little bit of why are we here anyway. Maybe those teams, but I don't think so.
Well, wouldn't Arizona? He said Arizona. He used the Predators Coyotes series. I mean, wouldn't Arizona fit that bill?
I don't think so. I think Arizona still felt like they had a chance to get in.
Really?
I mean, remember too, they've invested, right? They are hungry to try to get to another level. They've been down for a while. They went out and got Phil Kessel. Then they traded for Taylor Hall. I think they feel like, you know, it's time to win something. I don't think they're going to check out if they get behind in the series at all. I think it's going to be a tough series.
Yeah, I don't really know how much it necessarily changes things either. I think it just depends on the makeup of the team, and that's going to be hard to figure out at this point because you know the roster, but as we've been saying, just any momentum is thrown out the window. So I think it could change. You're going to have healthier players. I mean, everyone's going to be coming in pretty much 100%, which you can never say that about the playoffs. You'll be able to say that here. So I don't know. I just wonder, you know, with some of these matchups, and there's probably some that are lopsided. I don't know if you guys saw the article Craig Custance from The Athletic put out yesterday of some predictions and talking to coach anonymous coaches, executives, and scouts about doing the play-in round or the qualifying round.
Isn't Arizona becoming kind of one of the sexier upset picks?
Yeah, they were the upset pick. The coach picked the Coyotes. The scout picked the Coyotes. The executive was the only one going with the Predators in this survey. So but a lot of the information quoted in here is based on the season as a whole. So I don't really know how much you can take away. The scout said, I'll go Arizona, Nashville. There's something not right there. I don't expect this layoff to have helped what's not right. Arizona has been a consistently hardworking team that will pay off in this series, especially because I don't think Nashville is a very hardworking team right now. I think center ice is a big problem there. Translation, I think that's directed towards somebody we just talked about, Ryan Johansson.
Probably so.
Well, I think it was a storyline all year. The question is, are the storylines going
the same
to be
or
the
different?
Same?
Yeah. That's what we're about to find out. Yep.
For example, the Coyotes. I mean, they had all kinds of problems when they hit the skids. They slipped. Remember, they were leading the Pacific
with
Division.
Taylor Hall
for a long
didn't
time.
Change them. It changed them in the wrong way.
Yeah, they were leading the division when they acquired Taylor Hall, and they were fighting to stay in the race just to get into the playoffs in a fairly what perceived to be a little bit of weaker division. I think it's fair to say the Central is way deeper than the Pacific, and yet Arizona was still struggling to stay alive. So top-to-bottom talent, I like the Predators, but when Arizona is right, when Arizona has their A game, they play a very, very difficult defensive system that makes it very tough to score. They'll also have to make a decision on their two goalies, right? Because Darcy Kemper was playing lights out. Then he got hurt. Antti Raanta was in there for a while. So who do you go with? I think, you know, if you circle the date on the calendar and you say, who's your best goalie? Depending on the date, it could be either of the two. Just kind of like it has been for the Predators. If it was early in the season, you'd say Pekka hands down. Late in the season, it would have been Saros.
Yeah, that's a very good question, too, you know, what they're going to do. It's fun to read through this, though, and the Arizona, as you said, Darren, that's everybody's sexy pick. I said this morning that I could see Chicago making an interesting against Edmonton. Ryan disagreed with me on that. I don't know how you guys feel, but that's the whole point of this format, though, is trying to get some excitement. And, you know, there's going to be an upset, whether it's in the East or the West. I mean, I feel confident in that there's going to be a team that wins that probably, you know, that they necessarily shouldn't. But and I don't really consider a 9-8 to be an upset. But I think Chicago could be interested. And look, I'm not going to overlook Arizona by any means. And I definitely think that they could make it a tough series against the Predators, but I just, based on our earlier conversation, I think this break has benefited a lot of players on this team, and that's going to make a difference.
Well, let's take another key guy for Arizona, looking at it from their perspective. Nick Jalmerson, who is one of their rocks on defense, he broke his leg or something. He blocked a shot, and I think he was missing months. So he'll be back full tilt, ready to go, presumably when this gets started. That's a key cog for them that they'll have back in there. So every team is going to have a list of players that either underperformed or were injured that will be in that same category as we just discussed with Nashville, Arvidsson and Johansson and Rene, for different reasons, right? So that's, I think it really comes back to the same thing. Anything can happen. You mentioned Chicago. Edmonton is a way better team than Chicago. They're just better. But 3 out of 5, if you get a goalie that plays a couple of good games and Patrick Kane does his thing, we know Chicago
Robin
can score,
Leonard can get hot,
right?
You know? Oh, wait a minute.
They traded him.
They don't have him.
They traded him.
Yeah, I'm not willing to go there. Look, anything can happen. I'm not willing to pick Chicago as an upset over Edmonton.
But
that's
Corey Crawford
me.
Is not chopped liver, right? He'll be fresh.
When's the last time Corey Crawford – we've been wowed about Corey Crawford.
Been a while.
You know, it's like talking about, you know, do you think L.A. Kings have a good goaltender? Yeah, he's been pretty special over the years. When's the last time we've been wowed by him? You know, I mean, it's just
– fair point.
I'm not willing to go, watch out for Mark, you know, watch out for Corey Crawford. I was about to say Mark Crawford.
I was about to say Mark Crawford.
Corey Crawford. Well, him
Ron
too.
Ron Crawford.
They're streaky. Like, on paper, they don't look good, the Blackhawks. But in lightning in a bottle, 3 out of 5, you know, could they score 5 goals and all of a sudden, you know, blitz them for a game or two and really put some heat on Edmonton with all the pressure that'll be on that team to try to win. You know, they haven't been good for a while. You have Drysdale and McDavid, and you're like, you should win.
You can't sleep on experience,
I think
though.
It could happen. It could happen.
Yeah, I think the experience of Toews and Kane and Crawford, especially, you can't sleep on that.
I agree, Chase. Don't ever sleep on experience. The NFL and the NFLPA are right now discussing the possibility of shortening the 2020 NFL preseason, per sources. This is coming from Tom Pelissero. Pretty interesting stuff that's starting to circulate on social media. Nothing is finalized or imminent, but multiple team executives have said there could end up being two preseason games rather than four this year. And boy, wouldn't that be welcomed. Yeah, maybe not for the teams, maybe not for the coaches, but for the fans, it would be, in my opinion, more than welcome. And we kind of know the stance of this show about NFL preseason. All right, yeah. Speaking of that, we'll come back. Field Yates from ESPN. We'll have a good conversation with him to start the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.